Today I want to speak to you about a subject, and I trust that God's going to use it in your life to bring change and to bring help, and that what you're facing right now is going to change in Jesus' name. And that is, there's a phrase in the Bible, and we're going to look at this from a couple of angles, and then I believe God is going to ask us to participate at the end of the service. And that is that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And all of us in life already, regardless of your age, we have all faced big stuff. We've all faced big challenges, things that seemed impossible for us. And probably you are facing something right now that seems too big. That is a mountain, a Goliath, something, a Jericho, something that you know that you're supposed to be on the other side of, but it's big and it's perhaps humanly impossible. And a lot of the stuff in life that we face, some of it we can handle ourselves, right? Some of the answers, we have the power and the ability, and God helps us. Sometimes we can reach out to other people and they help us. But then there are times in life where it doesn't matter what we do and it doesn't matter what other people do. The situation is impossible. And in a sense, what we do sometimes in life is then we take a label and we look at that situation and we now brand it as impossible. That means it can never change. And so many times in the Word of God, we see examples of people, of groups of people that faced impossible situations. The children of Israel were leaving Egypt and they came to the Red Sea. There was no way to cross it. And behind them was the most powerful army in the world. And these were just, for 400 years, had been slaves. How many of you know that's an impossible situation? We see Abraham and Sarai, who were told that they're going to have a child, and yet they are past the childbearing age. So much so that they found it comical. They laughed at the promises of God. It was impossible. There was a time where the army of Israel faced Goliath, a 10-foot champion. All of their champions were in their tents, and the only person that wanted to fight Goliath was a small boy with 5 stones. Impossible. A 16-year-old girl named Mary, who was told by an angel that you would conceive by the Holy Spirit and bring forth the Son of God. In the life and the ministry of Jesus, impossible situations were brought to him. Dead people, blind people, leprosy victims, lame, deaf. Paul found himself on a deserted island and a poisonous snake had just bit him. There was no clinic, there was no hospital, there was no helicopter medevac to take him to sort out this impossible situation. There was a growing church in Lusaka that was landlocked with 2.5 acres of land, and yet they knew they needed to expand, and they needed to find a big piece of land, and everybody told them, it's impossible to find land in Lusaka. There's no way that you can do that. And when they went to go price their new building, they found out it was going to be multiple millions of dollars. And this church in Lusaka had $25,000 saved in the bank for their land and their building. You know who that church is, right? We're sitting in a miracle today. You just walked on miracle property today when you came to church. Now, what happened in all these situations in the Bible is that when they saw the situation, and sometimes they had help from other people and friends, is that when they saw it, people thought, it can't be done. In fact, we're going to look at in depth a story today that somebody was coming to Jesus with a situation, and then their own friend said, don't bother the master anymore. It can't change. Nothing can change about this impossible situation that you face. Don't bother God with your impossibilities. And yet what I'm asking you to do today is go ahead and bring your impossibilities to church. Bring them with you today and let's see what God will say. There, of all of these situations, there was no hope in the future that they would ever change. And I want to ask you today, what in your life today have you labeled impossible. When you think about it, you think, not only is it impossible for today, it will never change in the future. It cannot ever move. It is, and it's going to stay that way. Now, what I want to ask you today is, has God said anything from His Word about that situation? Is there any promise? Is there anything that God has said? Has He talked about His provision? Has He talked about His healing power? Has He talked about your spouse, your marriage, your kids, your future? And if he has, then today you're going to have the chance to take off a label called impossible and to put on a new label called possible. Possible with God. Does God have the power to change it? And yes, in life, there are situations when we see them, they look impossible. But yet God bases His commitment to you, not based on your situation. He bases His commitment on Himself, on His character, on His love, on His compassion, upon His power. And so what we have is, instead of looking at how impossible the situation, we make our decision based on God's commitment to us, not the unchangeable facts that have always been that way, and there's no way that they'll ever change. Listen to this. The size of your problem makes no difference to God. Now, it does make a difference down here on this earth. There are people that will look at your problem and they'll shake their head. They'll offer you a tissue. They'll pat you on the back. They won't have any answers. Maybe they have sympathy and love, and that's fine. But they tell you to go ahead and accept it, because that is the way it's going to be. Now, we have to determine with our situation, is it possible with God? Let's look at a few verses. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And I want you to see these for yourself. All right, because over and over again in God's Word, He tells you it is possible. There was a gentleman, and we don't know his name, but he was referred to as the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus. Jesus wanted him to follow him, to be part of his team. And then he told him what he needed to do, and he went away sorrowful. All right, because he didn't want to get rid of his money. And in Matthew 19:23, Jesus said to His disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When His disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Jesus was describing a situation. But you may be facing something today that with men, it's impossible. You can't get the loan. You can't get the job. The person is not going to change. They've been addicted for years. That maybe it's an addiction in your life. And you think, you know, with men, it's impossible. We see a situation, there was in the Bible a woman with the issue of blood that she had for 17 years. And she went to every physician and she spent all that she had and rather grew worse. Have you ever had a situation like that in life? You look to people who can try to help and you do everything you possibly can do and the situation gets worse instead of better. All right? Listen to this same account. This is about the rich young ruler, but this is from the book of Luke. All right. Luke 18:27, Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The J.B. Phillips says it this way: "What men find impossible is perfectly possible with God." Tell your neighbor, perfectly possible. The question is, who are we looking to? Who do we think has the answer for our problems? Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, another example of an impossible situation. the angel had come to Mary, who was going to give birth to Jesus, but he was describing this plan to her of what it was going to be like. Now, she had never heard anything like this. She had never heard of anyone giving birth to a child, having not yet known a man. All right? And so the angel is encouraging her, helping her to believe. Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative," that was her cousin, "your relative has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren." Who called Elizabeth barren? The doctors, her friends, her relatives. And perhaps even Elizabeth herself had called herself barren. And see, if you're barren, that means not only is it describing your present situation, but it is voicing your future. You are barren, and you will be barren. There's no hope. It is not going to change. But she, who was called barren, is pregnant 6 months now. How many of you know, 6 month lady, you can't hide that pregnancy? So guess what? Who's calling her barren now? No one. That which was called barren, people are shocked, amazed. Right? Because her situation has turned. And what then did the angel say, describing her situation? "For with God, nothing will be impossible." The key words in that phrase are "with God." And I want to ask you today, have you relegated God in your impossible situation? Have you left him outside? Because he wants to get with you. He wants to be near you. He wants to be with that impossible situation. Because if he is with you and his promise and his power is with you, it is not impossible. Now, let's look at this account, and I want us to take some time, and then I want us to pray. Mark chapter 5. Jesus had by this time already had a reputation of being good, of healing people, that people could come to him and find answers and help and hope. And so people were coming to him now on purpose, looking for the answers in their life, and especially in the area of divine healing. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.'" All right. Now, what was that? He was saying, all right, my daughter is close to the point of death. Obviously, they had done everything that they had already done. This was obviously a father who cared about his child. But nothing was working. She was close to death. But he voiced his faith in Jesus. He said, "If you will just come and lay your hands on her, she will be healed." Now, what was Jesus' response? Verse 24. So Jesus went with him. With him. For with God, all things are possible. Jesus went with him. So guess what? The man who could make all possibilities take place now was with him. Jesus had said yes. And so he was walking with the God of the possibility to his impossible situation. Isn't this awesome? So how many of you know this guy is excited? He's smiling. This is awesome. I go to Jesus with the request. It's not too hard for him. He has said yes, and he's with me. For with God, I've got God with me. With God, all things are possible. Now, I want you to see something happen on the way to their miracle. The woman with the issue of blood that we described, she came, touched him. They were in the crowd. And then as soon as this woman was healed, look at verse 35. while he was still speaking, that is to the woman with the issue of blood, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler, the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" So what happened on the way to his miracle? Things got worse. In fact, now she was close to the point of death. There's a little bit of hope. But now that she's dead, hope has left. Hope is gone. Correct? Now there is a situation that is permanent. It is irreversible. And now you can go ahead and put on the label, impossible. So much so that the people that had come from his house said, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Now, it's interesting. These were people that respected Jesus. They referred to Jesus as master. This man was the ruler of the synagogue. Probably all of the people that were around him were fairly religious people. People that knew about God, that knew about the miracles of God. And now these same people are telling the father, "Give up. Good try. Jesus has come with you, but it's too late." How many of you have heard those words? Give up. It's too late. There are no jobs for you. You're overqualified, underqualified, too old, too young, too smart, too dumb. Your CV's too long, too short. Right? There's no hope for you. Your child is too messed up. They've got a condition. They can't change. The physical part of your body, it's irreversible. There's nothing that we can do. All we can do is give you pills to make you feel good. Right? There are no jobs for you in this economy. Things have changed. It used to be good 10 years ago, but not so much anymore. It is now impossible. And so what happened was, Jesus realized that this was a big deal. Because now this man had hope when Jesus was with him. They were going to see the daughter. Jesus hadn't said no. But now things had gotten worse. And I don't know why this is, but it seems like sometimes on the way to your miracle, things get worse. Sometimes on the way to your miracle, things get worse. We're in a miracle building right now. I cannot tell you, it would be a 7-part series if I were to tell you all of the things that got worse before they got better when it came to this building. It was almost comical. I guess now, in retrospect, it certainly was not comical at the time. Thing after thing after thing after thing. That we felt like God had spoken. God was in this. God is going to help us. And we go on, we're thinking, "Jesus, you're with us. Hallelujah." And someone comes and tells us, "Don't bother. It's impossible now. It's impossible now." All right. And so Jesus realized that much was at stake. All right. And Jesus didn't rebuke the messenger. Jesus turned to the man who had brought him this far, the man who had put faith in Jesus, who had verbalized what Jesus was going to do. He turns to him and says, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." Do not be afraid. Only believe. And aren't you glad Jesus didn't give him a list of 10 things to do? He told him one thing not to do, and he told him one thing to do. Now, how many of you realize when your daughter is dead, that's a good reason to be afraid? But he said, no, you're not supposed to be afraid right now. Only believe. Only believe. What Jesus was also communicating to that man is, I'm not turning around. You wanted me to be with you. I'm still with you. I haven't changed my mind. Yes, I heard that the situation got impossible now. But guess what? For with God, for with Jesus, all things are possible. And if you have him with you and you have his promise about the situation, then the possibility of God is on your side. So what happened? Aren't you glad the man didn't turn around? Do not be afraid, only believe. And he, Jesus, permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. That is, all these people that said to give up, you're fired. You can't be on this team right now. I need people who are going to believe. I need people who won't give up on me. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, everybody say outside. You better be careful who you go into the impossible situation with. People who it seems like they're sorrowful, but they're just playing around. Huh? Because their wailing stopped in an instant to rebuke and to make fun of Jesus. All right? You need people who will go into the impossible situation with you that believe the same thing that you do about Jesus. Amen? And you can go back, after you get your miracle, you can go back out and be sweet with them. All right? You don't have to get rid of them forever. But when it comes to trusting the Lord, you need people who see him the way you see him. Amen? And thank God, I believe you'll find him at this church. So they entered where the child was lying, and he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. If Jesus is with you and you have his word, only believe. Only believe. We're going to sing a song at the end of the service here. And I was kind of thinking, and Caesar and I were texting back and forth yesterday, what kind of a song that we could think. And I know the choir doesn't know it, but I actually thought maybe the best song we could sing was from the 80s, the rock group Journey. Don't Stop Believing. All right, for the rest of you, you can look it up online, all right? No, don't worry, we're not going to sing that song, all right? But that's the message God wants to get to you today. Yes, I know you put hope in him. I know you believe that things can change. But on the way, things got worse. Don't stop trusting in him. Only believe. Jesus turns to him and says, I need you to stick with me on this. Look, let's look at another account of an impossible situation. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 17, one of the crowd answered, said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. All right, so it was a condition that was because of a demon, and he could not speak. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they could so that they could cast it out, but they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you? Bring him to me. What was he saying? Guys, you should have been able to do this. Then he brought him to him, and he fell. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Tell your neighbor, a long time. See, sometimes the things that we give up on in life are the things that have been there a long time. We get used to it. We begin to learn to walk with a limp. We begin to accommodate. And I'm sure that this family, because of what happened to their son, they had to plan in advance when we go into public. Did you bring this? Did you bring that? Because they knew that this was going to happen over and over and over again. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Notice that's the nature of the devil, to destroy. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What did this man say? If you can do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us. All right? The New Living Translation, listen to Jesus' response in verse 23. New Living Translation. What do you mean, if I can? What do you mean, if I can? Message Bible puts it this way. If There are no ifs among believers. You need to deal with your if today. Going to God with this situation and saying, God, if. See, the original language here is Jesus. There's another translation that says Jesus became indignant. Don't say if to me. You know the earth you're walking on? I made this earth. You know the air that you're breathing? I designed it. When you were born, I formed you in your mother's womb. What do you mean cancer if? What do you mean give you a job if? What do you mean heal your marriage and restore your kids if? What do you mean if? I think the present day youth vernacular would be, get your if out of here. If I can, Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. Where's the if? The if is not with God. Jesus said the if is with you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who will believe. Don't put the if on me. God is turning the if around today. And he's saying, if you can believe, it will happen. That's where the problem is. It is not a God problem. It's an if you will believe. And the fact is, you can believe. You can believe. Now, what happened to the man? Jesus said, If you can do anything, retorted Jesus, everything is possible to the man who believes. And the man responded, I do believe. Help me believe more. Another translation says, help me with my unbelief. And God is looking to you today about that, what you have labeled impossible. And he's saying, if you will believe, and the Bible answer is, Lord, I believe, help me believe you more. Help me believe you more. And today is going to be part of that help you believe more. All right? Because I really felt impressed not just to give you a sermon, but to give you an assignment today. That we are going to participate with God today to take, and we're going to rip off an old label that says impossible. And we're going to put on a new label today on that situation called possible with God. Jesus is with me. I'm on the way to the miracle. It might get darker. It might get worse. But Jesus is with me and I will not fear. I will only believe and I will see his salvation. And I will see this situation turn around. Amen. Because here's the thing, it's not a matter of what Jesus believes, it's what you believe. It's not a matter of what I believe about your situation or I preach about your situation. It's a matter of what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart about that situation. Today, we can say, Lord, I believe. Now, the number one issue is, do you have promises from God and his word about your situation? If you're believing God for your kids, Isaiah 54 says, all of your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace, the undisturbed composure, and the prosperity of your children. That's what God has said about your children. If you're worried about unsaved loved ones, if they're going to make heaven, Paul told the jailer, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and your whole household. Amen. If you don't know what to do, if there's a fork in the road, actually it's not a fork. It looks like spaghetti. There are 100 different ways you could go. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, has been made unto you wisdom. Wisdom of God. The wisdom of God belongs to you. You have the mind of Christ. You are led by the Spirit of God. If you're facing a situation in your body, a disease, an abnormality, if you've got something wrong with your blood, if you've been told you're HIV positive, God says, because of what Jesus did at the cross, by his stripes, you were healed. If there's a financial difficulty in your life, God has said, I will supply of your need according to my riches, not according to your economy, not according to your education. I'll supply your needs according to my riches and glory. And the last time I checked, he's walking on streets of gold. He's doing okay. The economy of heaven, CNN has not reported a blip. There's not a recession, a depression. They don't need a turnaround or new policies. And he said he will supply for you. He will supply for you. And any impossible situation, I would assure you today, there is a promise from God that speaks of that situation. And so you need to get it and go with Jesus on the way to your miracle. Amen? Whatever it is, hold on to him. Now, I want us to do a few things. I want us to pray, all right? But I want us, first of all, to pray about an impossible situation that some of us might be facing here in this room, all right? Would you bow your heads with me? Would you bow your heads with me? And I want to address certain folks that may be facing an impossible situation. And that is, all of us know that we will not live on this earth forever. We will die. We will die. What's going to happen when you die? What is your assurance that you're going to go to heaven? Well, I was baptized. I grew up in the church. I was a member of a church. My family was saved. None of those things save you. How can you, if you don't know Jesus, turn around the bondage and the hurt and all the messed up of your life? How can you turn around that? It's impossible. It looks impossible. But the fact is, for with God, all things are possible. The Bible says that he saves to the uttermost. He saves to the uttermost. And right now, by the Spirit of God, there are people here today that you think you have committed the unpardonable sin. You think you've sinned away your day of grace. You think you are too far from God for him to forgive you. And I tell you today, based on the blood of Jesus, all of your sin was put on him. And you can receive a new life today. You can be born again. You can be a new creature. You have everything that you've ever done, Jesus paid for. And he offers you new life. If you've run from God, if you're a backslidden Christian, you can come home today. You have not run too far that right now you can't turn back to him. Your situation is not impossible. He will save you. He'll restore you. He'll cleanse you. As we sang today, he'll pick you, he'll wash you, he'll raise you, he'll make you his child today. He'll do that for you. He'll do that for you. If you're here today and you face the impossible situation, the pastor, I don't know what's going to happen when I die. My life is a mess. I can't seem to turn it around. But you can trust on the God who loves you. You can trust on the Savior who offers you his life. If that's you today and you say, pastor, I want to receive new life. I want to receive forgiveness. I want to follow Jesus. Wherever you are right now, lift up your hand. Lift it up to say, I'm receiving salvation. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? You're not too far. Yes, God bless you. Who else? Yes, over here. Who else? Receive that gift. Receive new life today. He loves you and he cares for you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. All right, let's all stand to our feet. We're going to do some more praying. But first of all, we want to very much specifically pray for these who have come. I want you to grab your Bible, your belongings, your handbag, whatever you brought with you to church, and just come and meet me right now. Just come and meet me right now. God cares for you. You're going to be forgiven today. You're going to be loved today. You're going to be a new creature today. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap. Just come. Just come. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful. It is possible. It is possible with God. It is possible with God. God bless you, ma'am. It is possible with him. He loves you and he cares for you. Amen. God bless you, young man. All right. God bless you, sir. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. It's a new beginning, a new day for you. God bless you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Now, those of you that have come, you've come to receive a gift. It's a free gift. Amen. Wonderful. Somebody else coming? Great, great. Good news. God bless you, sir. Thanks for coming. Yeah, just right here is fine. those of you that have come, God offers you His gift, a gift of new life. And that gift is received by faith, all right? And it's when you reach out and receive it today. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer that will, and you'll see that happen in your life. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Let's close our eyes. Close your eyes and just lift up one of your hands towards heaven, because that's who we're talking to. And say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died in my place. He was punished for my sin. And you raised him from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart, my whole life. Jesus, live in me. And I thank you now. I belong to you. I'm in your family. I am going to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are so thrilled today. God, the Bible says heaven is rejoicing. We have a book that we would like to put into your hand. And there's some people that would like to connect with you personally, to pray with you. If you would just turn and follow us right here to this prayer room. All right. If you would just go with Kathy, we're going to just have a time of prayer. And then you'll be right back with us. Thank you so very much. If you could just turn and follow us. Amen. Bless you, my friend. Bless you. Bless you. Now, what I'd like you to do is, some of you come with folks to church, people that you know. Some you might not know the people that are around you. But I want you to find 2, 3, 4 people. And I want you just to form a kind of just a real quick small prayer group. All right. And I want you to tell these folks what you're going to be relabeling today. What you're going to be relabeling today. Maybe it's a situation in your family, your home. But go ahead and just find the people around you. Grab them by the hands. All right. And we're not going to take too much time. But I want you to tell these folks, I believe this situation is impossible. But today, I believe it's possible with God. This situation is possible with God. All right. And just go ahead and verbalize your faith. It's important that you let people know where you stand and what you believe with God. Maybe there's a scripture that goes along with it. But just go ahead and just pray. And you, or in a sense, just let them know what you're trusting God about. They're going to believe with you. They're going to stand with you. They're going to rejoice when the testimony comes. Just go ahead and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we look to you. We look to you. We look to you, Father. We look to you and we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, for your goodness. For your goodness. Lord, that we will see your salvation in the land of the living. In the land of the living. In the land of the living. With our own eyes, we'll see your goodness. We'll see this situation turn around and be exactly what you have created it to be. For with all things, for with you, all things are possible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. We lift you up. We magnify you in this place. We thank you today. We thank you today. We thank you today. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we glorify you. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Go ahead and wind up that prayer. Go ahead and wind up that prayer. Just rejoice in the Lord. Encourage one another. And we're going to come together to declare our faith towards God right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father. These situations are turning. Lord, we have your promise. You are with us. Your promises are yes and amen. And Father, we thank you today that we put a new label on this situation and we call it possible. We change what we believe because you are with us and your promises and your power and your love are with us and towards us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to sing a song together. We're going to sing a song together. This song may be new to some of you, all right? But I would encourage you, just allow your heart to rejoice. Faith sees the answer and thanks God before. Amen? And we've now relabeled some situations in our life. We have His promises. And so faith does not wait to rejoice. Faith just goes ahead and has a party right now. All right, we're just going to sing this through a few times till you get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. Cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Open, strongholds are broken.
situation you're facing. The Bible says that the word of God is like the sword out of your mouth. And right now you need to declare to the giant. You need to declare to that wall of Jericho. Hallelujah. Declare your voice of victory. Amen. They were supposed to shout to the mountain, grace, grace to the mountain. And right now I want you to declare, if you're believing something with your spouse or a friend, you grab them by the hand and you begin to declare. Hallelujah. You begin to declare the word of God. And when you're done declaring, just lift up your voice and shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. About a month ago, I realized Zambia knows how to rejoice when it wins. When the ball goes in the back of the net, we know how to rejoice. Well, guess what? The ball just went into the back of the net. It's over. It's finished. We won in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. So just go ahead and just declare the word of God. Declare the promises of God. And when you're finished, just go ahead and lift up a shout to the Lord today. If you need to get out in the aisle, if you need to come down here, you just do whatever you need to do to get happy in Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we declare that our needs are met. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now just go ahead and act like you would act if that dead girl got off of the bed. Just go ahead and act that way right now. Glory, glory. I want to give you an assignment on your way home. All right? I want to give you an assignment. Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And in my Bible, this is written in red in Mark 11:23. Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Whatever he says. I don't need to anoint your water bottle. You don't need anointing oil from Lagos, Nigeria. You need to get the word of God in your mouth. And when you get home, you speak to that mountain. You speak to that giant. And you don't stop talking. You don't stop verbalizing what God has said and what He will do. Hallelujah. And the walls are coming down. The giant is falling. And you're going to go in and receive the spoils in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus did not say whatever you say in church will be done for you. You need to line up your life and line up when you go home and when you go back to that situation, when you read the bank statement and when you go back to the doctor, you let the word of God come out of your mouth. The sword of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, find those people you prayed with. Find those people you prayed with. Again, just go ahead and find another circle. All right, we're going to just close this way today. Just, you can pray your own benediction, but just verbalize that it is done. It is happening. God is on the move. The power of God is working in this situation. Father, we thank you. We rejoice today, Father, not just because we sang a song or danced around, Father. We rejoice because your word is true. Your word is forever settled in heaven. And let God be true and every man and every circumstance a liar. You are the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for you. And so, Father, we go with joy in our heart, with the word of God on our mouth. And we thank you, Father, that situations are turning. We see them different today. And you are the God of possibility. And we leave today holding your hand. And we are with Jesus on the way to our miracle. And we thank you for it today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.